Hallelujah.
Just in case I didn't. Okay. All right.
I'm just going to go ahead and pray you in.
Okay.
You guys want to stand? I'm going to go, while they're working, I'm going to go ahead and pray Pastor Ian's and have a seat. Amen. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for the ministry that's already went forth during our Sunday school lesson and during our prayer session, dear Jesus, that we can continue in our worship, dear Lord, through the hearing of the Word of God, dear Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, as he stands as a conduit to your message, dear Lord, as the Holy Spirit continues to work and deal and speak to him, dear Jesus, that message, that word that needs to be listened to, dear Lord, works through him. And we thank you for this opportunity, dear Lord. We're blessed, dear Jesus, by the prayer assignment, dear Lord, for our young adults and teens, dear Jesus, as we stand in agreement that you cover them, dear Lord, and keep them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are ready to go, and we are live. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. Good morning to everybody. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it, having someone to speak to. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, not that our YouTube, but I can't see you. So right. It's really looks nice funny. To be here talking to someone. Let me just grab my glasses here. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Ben. And we're going to begin to talk about some things the Lord placed on my heart this morning, and thank God for his guidance, because I was in the middle of not knowing what the Lord wanted to speak on this morning, and then he gave it to me. And so I just want to say, what the Lord was showing me this morning, that like last year, it was not, in the book of Luke, it says that the flood came upon the whole world. You understand? So when it was time for judgment, the judgment came upon the whole world, but it had to be, but it was in the 120th year and that judgment came upon the whole world. And as I'm praying and asking God about it, he said last year judgment did come upon the whole world. And he said, but you didn't follow the pattern. And after judgment came upon the whole world, many other things happened. But we have to understand that it's not just about the rapture. It's about where God is and where the position of the world is right now. And the world is in a very strange position. I was looking this morning at the Israeli news, and they were saying 57% of their population has the vaccine. Wow. And so I'm like, you know, my question is, what is going on? Because if we just continue on this pattern, or is God going to intervene, or what's going to happen, you know? And in the middle of asking questions, God will always calm you and say, when have I ever failed my people? And so the same thing is with us. We have to remember that through the Holy Spirit, through the adoption, you are now God's people. Mm-hmm. And God has not forgotten about his people. And the question was, have I ever forgotten my people, meant both Israel and the church that is right now presently in the world. God has not forgot. God knows exactly the position that the world is in. This is no surprise to God. And I'm very sure that God knew exactly what year that it would all happen. As I looked back through all of the notes from 2020 up to the present time, I just look at everything that has gone on, and I just said, it was just a mess. And it came upon the whole world, though. Yeah. God wanted to say, I want you to know that things are consistent. Before we get started, I want us to look at something, because God wants me to know that in everything, He always makes sure that He fulfills His word. Now, I'm going to show you something that's very small in the Bible. I showed it to Drea last week, but we didn't look at the scripture. We're going to move on from here. But the Lord wanted me to show you this morning. Now, watch this. I'm in Exodus. I am in chapter 13. And I'm reading verse 17. I guess I should read 17 through 19. And it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was a shorter route. It said, God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel promised an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So the father of the 12 nations, he's telling them, when you leave here, you make sure you don't leave my bones. You know, I know you're already going to bury me. I know my body will already be decayed. But when you leave here, you make sure you don't leave any remains of me here. So he says, I'm making you promise that you will take my bones with you when you leave Egypt. So at Passover comes, and this is about the time when they take the lamb and they sacrifice the lamb, and then the death angel comes over Egypt, and then now the Jews are about to leave, the Hebrews are about to leave Egypt, and they make sure, Moses makes sure he remembers the promise to go and grab those bones and bring them out of that tomb, right? So, Joseph's tomb was empty on that day. Now, let's look at this. It says here, here it is. It says, as evening approached, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself became a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen, and placed it in a new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was a very rich guy, and he paid a lot of money for this tomb that he had purchased, but he asked for the body of Christ, and he puts the body in this tomb. Now, once Passover comes, this is not really Jesus' tomb, or it doesn't belong to his father. Who does it belong to? It belongs to Joseph. So both times on Passover, Joseph's tomb was empty. Ooh. You see there? So God made sure that Joseph's tomb was empty on Passover both times. Huh. And to go through all of that to make sure that his word is fulfilled, that when he says this is going to be fulfilled in this time, it has to happen in the way that he says it's going to happen. For example, even Christ being on the cross and he's telling them to go and break everyone's legs, the scripture already says the lamb's legs cannot be, no bone on the lamb can be broken. And so, therefore, when they got to Christ, they said, well, he's already dead. No need to break his legs. So God goes through a lot to make sure that what he wrote gets fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Amen.
Okay. And that's the situation we're in now, because the whole world came under judgment in the 120th year. Even though the rapture did not happen, It was God fulfilling prophecy. It was as if Trump announcing that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, he had to do it in 2017 because that fulfilled prophecy. Yes. And so God is doing things to let us know I'm still in the game. I'm still watching over my people. I'm still, so I haven't forgotten about anything, okay? The next thing coming up after they leave Egypt is they travel towards the Red Sea, and they are going to come into trouble because the Egyptians are going to follow them and want to kill them there, right? Mm-hmm. But they cross over into the Red Sea. Once they cross over the Red Sea, now I want each and every one of you to imagine that you're there and you're standing at the edge of the sea on this side, and what you see is ocean. Hmm. And that's all you see. And what you see coming down the mountain is death for sure. It's an army that says they're going to kill every last one of you. And I want you to imagine you see the sea split in half. And half of the water of the sea is standing up on this side, and half of the water of the sea is standing up on that side, and you're watching as it happens. Once you walk through on dry land, now you walk through and the waters and the ground isn't even wet. You walk through on dry land and you get to the other side. Would this now make you a believer in God? Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to look at something, because making you a believer that God exists does not cause you to have emunah, which is loyalty to God.
That's true.
So coming out of Egypt and the lamb dying for their so that they could escape death, and then them coming out of Egypt was just really the beginning of a process. Mm-hmm. You understand? So now God proves himself. They walk through. Now, I just can't imagine walking through. I would be scared of God forever to watch that. It scares me. Even when I was a kid, when someone told me God created the sun, I was like, wow, he created it? What did he use? You know what I mean? Did he light a big match? Well, how did he do it? But understanding some of the things that God can do makes you go, he is an incredibly powerful God. This is the person I need to follow since he created me.
Yes.
But coming out of Egypt, even though it makes you believe in God, it does not make you loyal to God. And that was the problem of coming out of Egypt. All of us came out of Egypt.
Yes.
And all of us came out of Egypt for the same reason the Hebrews came out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. There was a lamb that suffered and died so that you could come out of Egypt.
Yes.
Okay? So we all came out of Egypt. And then so we must all realize that coming out of Egypt was the beginning of the process, not the end of the story. Okay? Mm-hmm. So God saving us and doing what's necessary to give us life was the beginning of a process.
Yes.
The next thing that happened to them after they came out of Egypt was, and then they crossed through the Red Sea, the very next thing that happened was 50 days later, they stood under Mount Sinai and they gave their allegiance to God, because God told Moses, this is the covenant that I'm giving you for the people. Tell the people that to come under the huppah, because I want to marry them. Now, if you're understanding it in Hebrew, you're seeing that God is calling for a covenant relationship. They had already come out, but now God is saying, I did what's necessary to save you. Now I want your commitment toward me. Here's my covenant, and I want you to now commit to my covenant. So he gives the instructions to Moses. Moses goes to the people and says, this is what God says. Are you willing to do this? And it said, all of the people said, we will. As if you're standing before a pastor and you say, will you marry this? And you go, I do. Okay? So all of the people said, we will. So at this time, God gives them the Ten Commandments. And now the process begins. They're at Mount Sinai on the 50th day, and the process has begun now for what? Is this now the end of the story? This is just the beginning of another story, because now they have to go through the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So coming out of Egypt is the beginning of a process. Believing that God is who he says he is the beginning of a process.
Yes.
Coming under covenant with God is the beginning of a process that you must now fulfill, because God's ending is not just the 40 years of wandering. God's end is that Yeshua is going to come and pass you over to the other side.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what you want to be ready for, and that's what the whole message of S4C has been about. Don't end this just because you came to know Jesus.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing. I realize that Jesus Christ did die on the cross for my sins. I realize that now. Okay. I'm asking him to come into my life, and now I'm saying I do. Then God says, okay, now let's go through the process. Because a 40 years of wandering ended up being, of all the people that came out of Egypt, only two of the original making it to the crossing of the Jordan. So what is the problem there? What is the problem there? The problem is becoming a child of God or making a commitment is only the beginning of a process. I hate divorce. Mm-hmm. But I realize every wedding is the beginning of a process, because neither one of them woke up to a baby crying at 2 a.m. yet. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them have lost their jobs in the middle of a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they really don't know the wilderness wandering yet. All they really know is we had a wonderful wedding day.
Yep.
And God is like, that was beautiful. That was a wonderful day. I'm glad we celebrated. Now let's get on to marriage, okay? And so what I want you guys to understand is the process that we have just experienced and we are still going through, and it is going to end with the crossing of Yeshua crossing us over to the other side,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the process takes more than, I've discovered that Jesus is real. Wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to realize. I've made a commitment to follow him. Awesome. Now let's see you work out the process. Because even what we have, what they didn't have, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to change us and to empower us to live godly lives. Okay? So we have even more than what they had going through their process.
Yeah.
So we should be able to make it through the 40 years of wandering. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be able to make it through. If we keep our eyes focused on the fact that we are in a relationship with God, okay?
Amen.
Let's continue.
Amen.
I want us to go to yes, through Exodus chapter 19.
Nikki brought me some water.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I was hurting. Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's start here. At the third verse, okay? 19, third verse. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, that's Israel, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, hallelujah, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. God said this the same thing to you when you accepted Christ. Yeah. If you will obey me and if you will follow me, I will make you a prized possession among mankind. I will bless everything that you do. Your going in and your coming out will all be blessed. If you will obey and do what I say do and stay in the process, okay? This is not, when you're reading this is not just something that God individually says to one group of people, and he doesn't say to everyone that he loves that comes into a relationship.
Amen.
Because he's saying it to all of us. So he says this, now if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be a treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in the dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and tell them consecrate them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day." So now God plans a wedding. They said, "I do. Let's plan a wedding. Let's plan a time that I can come down and make this official." So 3 days later becomes the wedding time at Mount Sinai. It is exactly 50 days since they left Egypt. Mm-hmm. What does the word Pentecost mean?
50.
So this happened again in the New Testament after Jesus. There came another Pentecost, okay? Mm-hmm. So understand this, that God is making sure that this happens exactly on Pentecost. 50 days after they leave Egypt, here's what happens. Okay? It says, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people, put limits for the people around the mountain, and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to lay on him. Rather man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn blows a long blast, they will go up to the mountain." So they have to hear a long blast, a trumpet blast, and then they can come up. Now, God said, keep Joseph's promise and make sure there's no bones there. And then God says, make a guy named Joseph give Jesus the tomb, because we know three days later the tomb will be empty, just like the other Joseph. So understand that God is telling them to make a trumpet blast, because there is a future time that the trumpet blast will call everyone to do what? To come up.
Yeah.
For the real wedding. Okay? Because there's going to be a real wedding. This was a wedding, but they can't go up to the mountain until the trumpet blast. There's going to be another wedding, but you can't go up until the trumpet blast. You understand? So, here we are. And it says, after Moses had gone down to the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from your wives. And it says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with thick clouds and over the mountain. And thick clouds over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Okay? So this is a wedding. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended into the fire. Remember this, you guys, because this is important. A thick cloud covered the mountain because God's presence came down. Why is Jesus Christ coming back on a cloud? To protect the people from dying. You understand? When he comes back, he has to be on a cloud because he has to have control over who dies and who lives. So the cloud is an important thing. But understand this. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood. And it said, and Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended into the fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke in a furnace. And the whole mountain trembled. The mountain was shaken violently. Your wedding day. Okay? The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And that's how that wedding went. Now, that's a scary wedding. Okay? But it happened when? On the 50th day. This became Pentecost. This became known as the 50th day, or they called it Shavuot. Okay, the Feast of Weeks. You understand? So I want you guys to know that right now we have just experienced Passover. Once Passover happened, it was the Feast of First Fruits. That's the day of resurrection, Nisan 17. The Sunday following, I mean the next day following, no, it would be the Sunday following is the Feast of First Fruits. From that day on, they're going to start counting, and Israel is counting right now, the Omer. 50 days of Omer. What are they counting? 50 days of Omer. To celebrate the time that they stood under the mountain with God, under the hoopah, to marry him in this horrifying wedding. But it was a day that God says, now you're going to see who you're marrying. You understand? Because you're marrying God, and you need to understand there has to be some fear involved in this because your God is a consuming fire. So this whole wedding happens this way, and it happens on the 50th day.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's go to Acts. Chapter 2. When you get there, say amen, and we will get started reading. Here it is. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come. Now, when we get to chapter 2, a lot has happened. Jesus has walked with them for 40 days after his resurrection. For 40 days, he's walked around with them, explaining things to them about the kingdom of God. And then on the 40th day, he ascends and goes back up into heaven right in front of them. And two angels say to the apostles, why are you sitting here gazing at the sky? It says, don't you know that the one who just left is going to return in like manner, okay, in a future day, right? So Jesus goes up in the 40th day, but he gave them instructions. He said, go to Jerusalem and stay there, right? And he says, because God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is going to be given to you on that day. So they all go there. And they're waiting. And the scripture, it's so shocking to me, says it was 120 of them waiting in this room, right? But they're all 120 waiting in the room. But outside of the room, guess who's out there? Jews from all over the world. Okay, come on, let's go here, because we're going to do a little studying, but I'm going to try to preach. Okay, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, do we remember that from the last 50 days? Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. And they, it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and to begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, God said teach now. Because you need to understand, this is not the tongues that you pray in. This is a tongue that I'm speaking Japanese and I never learned Japanese. I'm speaking Arabic and I never learned Arabic. They're speaking the languages of all the people that have come from all over the world so that they could all hear the gospel. Do you understand the miracle that God is doing here?
Yes.
Because something just happened on Passover and now they need to know what the gospel is so that they can believe it and get saved. So here it is. And it says, wait a minute. It says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing. Can somebody tell me what that next word is? Jews. There were God-fearing Jews. This has nothing to do with the Gentiles. You need to know that. This is a Jewish fulfillment here. It says, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why were they all in Israel? Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times a year, every Jewish male must present himself in the place that I choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Shavuot, which we call Pentecost, which is this 50th day, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. So now there's so many people, they're all there because they've been commanded since Deuteronomy that once a year they have to present themselves to God. And so there's Jews from everywhere who have obeyed and they have come to Jerusalem. And now what they're going to hear is amazing. And it says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that us hear them in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya near Cyrene. I mean, people all the way from Africa, all these Jews are all there. And it says visitors from even Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. So they're all there, these Jews, and guess how many get saved? 3,000 Jews come to Christ on Pentecost and receive the Spirit of God. So now someone said to me, Pastor Sandy, Pentecost has been fulfilled. What happened in Exodus already happened at Pentecost. Well, I said there was no wedding at Pentecost. There was a giving of a ring, because there's another scripture that says God has given you kind of like a deposit, a promise of what he's going to do later. He's given us a ring. He's given you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Which if you are a good bride or a good lady, you're going to have that ring on when he arrives. You're not going to be at a club with the ring in your pocket. You're not going to be hanging out with friends and put the ring, leave the ring. Because you're not ashamed of the fact that you're married or you're getting married. And we have to understand that. See, the problem with Egypt is this. Once they came out, they started complaining, and even some of them said, let's reminisce about the good times in Egypt. So when they came out of Egypt, they had a problem, and the problem was some of them missed Egypt. They said, even in Egypt we had water, even in Egypt we had meat. We should just go. As a matter of fact, they gathered up people to say, let's just all go back to Egypt. Let's, you know, whatever happened to this Moses, we don't. Let's gather together and maybe we can go back to Egypt. And see, the same thing happens with us. This is the thing. This is the thing we don't understand. This whole Egyptian exodus and relationship and crossing over has to do with us. You met God, you experienced the Lamb, you walked through the water, you've seen the miracles of God. But once you get to the other side, are you going to start complaining? Yeah. Or are you going to remember what God delivered you from? I remember me and some friends were sitting around talking about the old times. And one of our friends, a Samoan guy, said, yeah, that was fun, but we was all on our way to hell then.
Yep.
And we stopped talking about old times right then. Because we hadn't remembered, sitting here talking about, remember Shaquina was fine and all this stuff. You know, we just talking about all this stuff. And oh, remember we used to just smoke weed and laugh all night. Those was the day. And the Samoan guy said, yeah, but we was all on our way to hell back then. And he kind of woke us up. We looked at each other and said, yeah, let's not talk about that no more. Because coming out of Egypt is beautiful, but you can't miss it.
That's
because
right.
Your flesh misses it. Mm-hmm. Your flesh misses Egypt. There was fun in Egypt. Your flesh misses it. But you cannot allow yourself to miss what was sending you to hell.
Amen.
And so this is what I'm trying to show you. We're all in this journey together.
Yes.
I've seen a sea split. Not literally, but for me to be standing in front of you alive.
Yep.
Okay, without any bullets ever passing through my body. Not using profanity. Not a lustful skirt chasing dog. To me, I'm like, how did God change that? Because it had been prophesied over me by many other bad people that that's all I would ever be. And so I was headed in that direction and didn't even realize that there were people that didn't live like me, that didn't live cursing and getting high and chasing skirts all day. But here I am, married 26 years, two beautiful sons, love Jesus. And I'm like, this is like walking. Sometimes I think back and I go, how did you do that? This is a miracle for me. So my miracle causes me to not just believe in God. My miracle causes me to have faith in God,
yeah.
to be faithful to God, to be trustworthy to God, because I appreciate what I saw him do.
Yes.
Not just that, I'll tell you guys about the other story where I had no money. I didn't even know how I was going to get enough gas to drive home. I'd made it to work, but I knew we didn't get paid till Friday, and I had enough gas to get to work. I got to work and didn't know what I was going to do. I was so thankful they had free lunch. And a guy said, hey, man, as I'm praying, Lord, I'm going to need help today. A guy said, hey, man, I need to move some stuff from my old apartment to my new apartment. Can you drive with me over there and help me move a couple of couches? I'll give you $50. Gave me $50, I filled up my tank, and as I was on my knees praying that night, I said, God, I saw what you did. That was a miracle to me. See, I'm watching him do things that makes me loyal to him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
And when God is doing things in your life, you gotta say, this demands not that I believe in him. Demons do that. Who cares? This demands that I be loyal to him.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Let's go to the book of Jude. Oh my goodness, I passed it in and took away all my time. We got one chapter in Jude. And here it is. Are you there? Jude, I shouldn't have to say chapter one, right? Okay, here it is. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. What does it mean, contend for the faith? Fight for the faith. That was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Now, did he destroy them who did not believe? No, because they all walked through the same water. They all walked through the same water. They believed he was there.
Right.
That wasn't the problem. But I read it in the original Hebrew, and he says, he destroyed them who did not have emunah, who were not faithful to God.
Yes.
So they're sitting there, right? So they saw the sea split. And so God, he said, God destroyed many of them because they had no emunah. They did not find it worthy to be faithful to God. Okay? In the English, it says he destroyed them because they didn't believe. They all believed, just like demons believe.
Right.
Okay? It's not the story. Your faithfulness toward God is what the story is, okay?
Amen.
Here it is. And it says, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their own homes, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves over to sexual immorality and perversion. They served as an example of those who suffer punishment of eternal fire. Anyway, I'm gonna stop there. He said, Even though I know you believe and I get a good report from you, I want to remind you that, because I heard some men have slipped in unaware who are trying to corrupt the grace of God and get you caught up in sin, getting you to believe that you can sin and still be part of God's family. And he says, these evil men slipped in and told you, that's okay, you still God's people. You just sin as much as you want. Mm-hmm. This was that whole doctrine, Nicolaitan doctrine, that was flowing through the cities.
Yeah.
You belong to God, so as much as you sin, it doesn't matter to God because you're already God's people, and don't worry about it, okay? He says, evil men have slipped in among you. But I'm trying to remind you that those who came out of Egypt, a lot of people came out of Egypt, were destroyed. Mm-hmm. Walking the aisle and giving your life to Jesus is the beginning of a journey. It is not the end all to be all. It's a great day to celebrate, and it's a great day to enjoy. But now you're on a journey. And a lot of people don't tell people that.
True.
Just lead them to Christ. And now disciple them. Tell them, hey, man, now let's walk this thing out. Because a lot of people came out of Egypt.
Right.
Let's not get happy off of this one day. Let's get into the word. Let's grow.
Yes.
Because ultimately, my brother, this is what I want to happen. I want when Yeshua takes us over to the other side, I want you to be with me then.
Yeah.
That's where I want you to be. I want you to be with me at the crossover. I know we came out. That's nothing. This is a journey, and we're in the wilderness, and we have to do this.
Yes.
In one of the apocryphal books, it says, I brought them through the wilderness instead of taking them straight to paradise to see whether they love me or hate me.
Yep.
This is what God said. He said, I took them through the journey to see if they love me or they hate me. Because you know what? Your actions will show you whether you love God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you'll do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So see, Judgment Day is about what? It's about the decisions you made during the journey. Okay?
Yeah.
You accepted Christ. I was working at the hotel there. You remember last year? Guy comes up to me and says, hey, man, I got these chicks, and we're all going up to the room, and one of the girls want to know if you want to join us. Now, I didn't beat him up or slap him, but I said, I was like, fool. And I hadn't said that word in a long time. I was like, I got a wife and two sons at home. Why would I be going up some stupid room with you, and you drunk and they drunk? I said, get out of my face, man. Now, I was upset because he asked me, and him asking me just sounded like this to me. I don't care anything about your life. You want to ruin it with me and go do drugs with some women?
Right.
That's what it sounded like to me. And a lot of times Satan offers people something, and it sounds good on the outside, and it sounds good to the three-year-old flesh that you have to carry around because it's so immature.
Right.
But the maturity, the spirit of God inside of you should say, nah, that ain't me, man. I'm loyal to God.
Right.
I'm trying to cross over. I'm not just trying to be a part of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Amen.
Okay. We have to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're finishing up, Pastor Ben. I said, I'm not blaming on Pastor Ben because he's the one. Keep telling. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. That means sanctify yourself from the world. It's like... I'm just laughing because when Christians do crazy stuff, it just makes you laugh. Like you get in a car, someone has to give me a ride home, right? And it was like after church, I get in a car and he's playing like, you got like NWA, right? And NWA is like the first people ever start cursing. And he's like, we're leaving church. And he pump in like the new NWA, and it's like the whole way home, it's like, pure profanity, you know, and shoot that and kill that. And I'm like, I'm like, is this guy even really saved, right? So I'm like, dude, do we have to listen to that? He's like, oh yeah, man, I forgot you just gave your life to Christ. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing this in front of you. You shouldn't be doing this at all. What do you mean in front of me?
Wow.
But see, I understand that a commitment to believe is not a commitment to be faithful.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And on judgment day, you imagine the demons come step. I believed.
Right.
Because demons believe, right?
Yep.
Who wants to come into heaven? Everybody step forward. Demons raising. I believed.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is about faithfulness, bro.
Right.
Step away. You get the down button, right? This is about faithfulness. This is not about believing that I exist. You saw the sun. You know I exist.
Hello.
That's not a problem. This is about faithful people.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to keep reading and finish, Pastor Ben.
Okay.
All right. Okay. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. His inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected. And he could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessings with tears. That's how judgment day is. You understand? That's how judgment day is. Because it's not the time. Judgment day ain't the time to repent. Repentance is before that, okay? Now, this is what I wanted to get to. Pentecost hasn't been fulfilled completely. There's been no wedding. There was the giving of a ring, okay? And a command from Jesus to wait, because I'm coming back to take you to be my bride. You understand? So here it is. In verse 18, it says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. See, you haven't come to that wedding, to darkness and gloom and storm. You haven't come to that wedding, praise God, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. This sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But God says, you have a wedding that's coming. So Pentecost ain't over, because this is going to be the Pentecost day. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
To thousands upon thousands of angels standing around us, and the saints rejoicing that we have made it and we're out of the world and we're in the kingdom. He says, this is going to be your wedding.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're headed somewhere, and we're trying to cross over when Joshua takes us over. We're not trying to be a part of all of those people who went through the wilderness and never made it to this day.
Right.
But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So God is letting us know, look, there's going to be a last Pentecost. Okay? It's going to be a last Pentecost. The Pentecost that you're coming to is going to be a wedding. Yes, you're going to come under the hoopah, but there'll be no fear. It'll be a joyful assembly. Okay? And so this is my what I'm trying to tell you. Don't be among the many people that came out of Egypt and died in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. It's a story that's forgotten. It forgets. Everybody forgets about it. It is not something that anybody wants to remember. You understand? Nobody, don't let your legacy be, I came to Christ, but I didn't make it in.
Right.
Don't let that be your legacy. Let your legacy be, I came to Christ, I endured the wilderness, I stayed faithful to God, and at the joyful assembly, I celebrated. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Elohim Tov.
Good word, Pastor Samuel.
Hallelujah.